Welcome. It is great to see you. I'm Brandon, student ministry pastor here. If you're our guest, thank you so much for spending your Wednesday night with us. So, without much further ado, tonight we get to learn what the beautiful, cute, fuzzy sheep means. How many of you of the Grace Band, the sheep is your favorite? Any of you? Okay, almost all girls raising the... Oh, yeah. Awesome. Bunch of chicks and a guy. That's cool. Awesome. Yeah, cute, fuzzy sheep. You ready? Here it is. He restores you again. He restores you again. I want you to think about for a second. Going to be down just for a second, but I'm going to come back out of this. For just a second, I want you to think about maybe one of the toughest things you've ever walked through, but maybe one of the worst decisions that you've made. Now, don't say it out loud. If you could roll back through my mind and you knew what I was thinking about, there'd be a huge list of things that I'm choosing from of worst decisions I've ever made. Made a lot of bad decisions, done a lot of dumb things. But think about just one thing that you wish you could take back. We'll come back to that in a second, okay? And put that to the side. Hey, so there's this guy named Peter. You've probably read about Peter in the Bible. Peter has a really cool story. He has a really cool start to his story. Peter was walking along one day, actually he was fishing, and this guy, this rabbi teacher says, "Hey, Peter, follow me." And he wasn't like, "Hey, follow me to McDonald's and let's go get a burger." He was like, "Hey, follow me." And Peter lays down his nets and says, "I'm going to come after you." And for 3 years, Peter walks right behind Jesus. Peter gets to see Jesus open people's eyes. He gets to see Jesus cause deaf ears to hear. And he gets to see people rise from the grave when Jesus touches them and talks to them. I don't know about you. I would be wearing that like a badge. I'm like, I'm with that guy. What's up? I got him. I mean, seriously, Jesus was the guy that he walked behind. And I would have been proud of that. In fact, Peter was so proud of that. There was one night where toward the end of Jesus' ministry, Jesus and Peter are in a garden praying, and these army soldiers, or these police officers, they come up and they say, "Jesus of Nazareth, where are you? Who are you? Where are you?" Jesus says, "I'm right here." No hiding, I'm right here. They said, "Come with us, you're under arrest." And Peter's like, no, you don't, not my boy. Pulls out his sword and slices off a guy's ear. Okay. If you've ever read that in the Bible, have you ever wondered what that looked like? Because what happens next? Jesus reaches down and goes, "Oh, you're going to need that," and heals it and puts it back on the guy. I almost wonder if that's in there because God has a sense of humor. He's like, "Oh, his bad. Sorry about that. You're going to need that." It's good. I mean, what do you think the guy with the ear had? I mean, he's just like, you want to arrest that guy? Well, so Jesus looks at Peter and says, "Put your sword away, wise guy. Put your sword away." So one moment, Peter is defending Jesus. He's defending Jesus. But just a few moments later, in fact, just a couple hours later, Peter is standing around a fire and he secretly follows behind Jesus as Jesus is taken into a trial and taken before people and condemned and spit on and mocked. And he's hiding off in a distance because they've arrested him. And the next thing to come is to arrest all those that follow him, not wearing Jesus as a badge so much anymore. And he looks and he's by this fire and he's just kind of listening in from a distance, trying to stay hidden. And this guy walks up and says, "Hey, I've seen you with that guy. You're with that guy." I don't know that guy. I don't know him." Okay. A few minutes later, he's warming his hands by the fire. Another guy walks up and says, "Hey, dude, hey, you know that Jesus. I don't know him. Leave me alone." And then finally, a little girl. "Sir, mister, I've seen you with that Jesus guy. Don't you know him? Don't you follow him?" "Shut up! I don't know him. Curse that man." One moment, Peter is defending Jesus, and the next moment, he's denying him. I don't know if you know what that's like, but I do. One moment I'm sharing my grace story with someone, the next moment I'm compromising. I don't know if you know what it's like one moment to defend God and the next moment to deny him. One moment I'm telling my atheist friend about how great God is and, "Oh man, God loves you," and, "Oh, you're wrong, dude. God created the earth. Man, you're wrong. And it didn't happen that way." And then the next moment, man, in my heart, in fear, I'm denying him. I don't know if you know how that feels. I do. So, I was studying through Peter and reading through his story, and the Lord showed me something that I just want to pass on to you real quick before we go any further. I was looking at Peter's three denials of Jesus, his betrayals, and the Lord said something to me that was really powerful that I want to pass on to you. He said this to me. He said, he showed me that with Peter's denials, you know, Peter really did love Jesus. Peter didn't deny Jesus because he didn't love him. Peter denied Jesus because he feared man. I don't know about you, but when I think of my sin and my betrayal, most of them in my life aren't because I don't love Jesus. It's because I fear man. I fear what they're going to think about me if I don't, or I fear that they may not think about me if I do. Most of my denials come out of a fear of man. So I don't know if you know what that's like. 1 minute, man, with the swords defending Jesus, and then the next minute denying him. I do. Peter does. Now, you may know how Jesus' story turns out that night. Jesus, later that night, would be condemned and sentenced to die as a result. Goes to the cross. In fact, just a few hours from this moment, Jesus would actually walk up to the cross and he would be crucified and he'd breathe his last breath. 3 days later, he would rise from the grave, an incredible miracle. And he would begin to show himself, reveal himself, show up out of nowhere. His disciples would be hanging out and Jesus was like, hey, y'all, what's up? I mean, he didn't really talk like that, but he'd roll into some place. Like one time they were eating a dinner and the dead guy who got up rolls in. You got to know, that's a party crasher. That's like a party foul if the dead guy walks in. I'm serious. I mean, that would kill the party. Well, they're like, Jesus. Well, there's this one time that Jesus reveals himself. In fact, it's the third time that he reveals himself to the disciples. Jesus, when he was resurrected, didn't reveal himself to the people that were like, ah, you're an idiot, I don't believe in you. Jesus, when he was resurrected, revealed himself to the people that followed him, that really believed in him. And so, Peter and James and John and Jesus' disciples, they're still afraid that they're going to be arrested and still not sure about what's going to happen, but they're fishing one night, and they're out all night, and they catch nothing, and it's dawn, and they can't see anything, and they hear from a distance, hey, yo, did you catch anything? No. Try throwing it on the other side of the boat. Jerk. You know, that's what they were thinking. And they were like, whatever. And so they throw the net on the other side of the boat, and they went to pull it, and they were like, pulling their back out because the fish were so big and so massive they couldn't pull it. Just the other side of the boat. And then suddenly Peter drops the net. John drops the net and goes, it's him. Peter's like, he's naked. Just the best way I could say that because they fished in their drawers. Okay, how many of you would like to go to Grapevine Lake and see a bunch of old dudes fishing in their drawers? Me either. So Peter, they're fishing and Peter's like, Jesus! And he jumps out of the boat and he swims and he's swimming and he's swimming to Jesus and he runs up to Jesus and he's like, Jesus! He's so excited to see him because Peter truly does love Jesus, but he has denied him and betrayed him. Eventually the other guys get to Jesus. They row, row, row your boat to the shore. And they roll in there and they get to Jesus and Jesus says, come, let's have some food. Go get that fish. And they light a fire and Jesus cooks the fish. I can't imagine what they talked about. I really can't. I mean, how's the weather? I mean, you've got the resurrected Jesus sitting there at a campfire eating breakfast with you. I don't know what even to begin to talk about. Like, what's it like? What's it like to die? You know, and so they're talking. And at a certain moment in the conversation, Jesus stops and he has the following conversation found in John chapter 21 that is the most important thing for our sheep tonight and for our message tonight in our series in Grace. Here's what it says in John chapter 21, verse 15 through 17. Here's what it says. At a moment in the conversation after they had finished eating, Scripture says, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of James, or son of John, do you truly love me more than these? That would be an awkward question. Like, what if Jesus rolled in right now and said, I'm not trying to pick on you, Brenna, but Brenna, do you love me more than these? Don't answer that, okay? But how awkward would that be? Like, this is an awkward moment where everyone stops and is like, wow, 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 what's going on here? And Peter goes, yeah, Jesus, you know I love you more than these. I mean, you know I quit my job to follow you. You know I walked with you. You know I walked through hard times with you. Jesus, you know I love you. And so Jesus looks at him and says, okay, tend my lambs. So they go back to eating and hanging out, and Jesus goes, hey, Peter, one more thing. Do you love me? Do you truly love me? And Peter's like, oh, this is a little bit awkward. kind of just answered that guy's question. Apparently when you resurrect, you don't have very good hearing, you know? He says, yes, Lord, I do love you. Verse 16 says, Lord, you know I love you. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. They go about their business, and Jesus goes, oh, Peter, one more thing. Do you love me? By this time, the whole room, the whole campfire is like, I don't know what's about to happen. What is this all about? And Peter, at this moment, is broke. Scripture says Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, do you love me? And Peter says, Lord, you know all things. I can't hide from you. You know that I love you. I can't hide anything from you. Jesus says, then feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Three betrayals, three restorations, right there. And it was in that moment that Peter knew that Jesus knew. Have you ever had that awkward time with your parents where you did something wrong, you're about to be grounded, and it's like you're just seeing each other for the first time that day? You're like, hey, how was your day? Anything good happen today? They're like, you never asked me about my day, and B, you're in trouble, you know? That awkward moment. Well, this is that awkward moment. Jesus and Peter are having a face-off about the betrayal and the denial. And here's something that I want you to notice. Who brought it up? Did Peter bring it up to Jesus, or did Jesus bring it up to Peter? Jesus brought it up to Peter. Look at me. When you and I make bad decisions and you and I betray Jesus, even in the slightest, we speak bad to our parents, or we have hate built up, or a bad attitude built up in our heart, or something as crazy and massive as we totally reject someone, or we totally reject Jesus and deny him before our friends. When we have these betrayals, so often we feel like, I can't bring these to God. I gotta hide these. It's deep down inside of us that we wanna hide our betrayals and hide our mistakes from God. When any of you, if you've ever had a bad grade, did any of you take your report card, run home, and go, Mom, look what I did. Please forgive me. How may I make this right? No. Because, no. We hide things from the authority because we're hiding from punishment. But check this out. Jesus brought it up to Peter. Whatever betrayal you've dealt with in the past, whatever you might be dealing with right now that is coming back in your mind over and over as I'm preaching, listen, Jesus wants to talk with you about it. And it's not what you may think. Jesus wants to talk with you about it because he wants to get you back on the path. Here's what Satan wants you to think. He wants you to think that Jesus wants to cast you aside and get rid of you. He wants you to think that if you come and tell Jesus about your junk, he's going to look at you and say, you idiot, again? And that is not how Jesus works. He's never been that way, and he's never going to be that way. But Satan wants you to think that, because check this out. If Satan can get you to run from God when you make mistakes and you betray and you make a bad decision and you knew you denied him and, oh man, why didn't I stand for you? Why didn't I do? If you hide, here's what happens. Satan knows that if he can get you to hide, he can get you to stop from running and receiving God's grace, which gets you back on the plan and the track for your life. So if he keeps you hiding, he keeps you from God's plan for your life. Several years ago, I was leading a small group of teenagers that were sophomores and juniors, and they were faithful, you know, everything's going great, coming to church and doing Bible study and coming to this camp and doing this, and everything's going great. And then suddenly, one of them would disappear for 2 or 3 or 4 weeks. Pick up the phone, Bill, what's up, dude? Josh, what's up, man? Michael, what's up? Oh, man, I've just been busy. Oh, dude, I've been so busy. Class has been so tough. It's been so tough, man. Oh, man, I'm sorry. Okay. Well, man, we'd love to see you. We miss you at church. Come hang out again. And then a few weeks later, I hear through the grapevine, the reality is he hadn't really been that busy. He made a bad decision with his girlfriend a few weeks earlier, and he was just afraid to talk about it. And suddenly, church and God and the people of God become the very people that he wants to run away from and hide himself from, because he feels like if he goes and he goes to God and he talks with God, all God's going to go is say, see, I knew you were a screw-up. And that is not how our God works. That's not him. So Jesus wants to bring up your betrayal, and he wants to bring up my betrayal because he wants to restore us. Here's the truth for tonight. I hope you never forget what I'm about to say. I'm going to say it for Peter, and then I'm going to say it for you. Here's the truth. Jesus' love and his plan for Peter was bigger than his betrayal. Jesus' love and his plan for Peter was bigger than his betrayal. Now, look at me. Jesus' love and his plan for you is bigger than your betrayal. It's bigger. 3 years earlier, when Jesus called out to Peter and said, "Follow me," Jesus looked at Peter and saw a rough around the edges, guy who talked too much, guy who got in trouble, guy who spoke too often, guy who made bad jokes, guy who was rough around. I mean, he just wasn't polished at all. But when Jesus looked at Peter, he saw a guy that someday I'm going to do great things through your life. Hey, he sees the same thing for you. And when Jesus called Peter to follow him, it's because he loved him and he has a plan for his life. And so when Peter betrays him, Jesus isn't caught off guard saying, "I can't use you anymore." Jesus had the plan in mind. Jesus knew the betrayal was coming. By the way, Jesus predicted this betrayal a few days earlier, if you read in the book of John. And Jesus still chose him. Look at me. Jesus still called you to follow him, knowing all of your present, past, and future betrayals. And if you're like me, there's going to be several. He will restore you again. The cute sheep, it means that he will restore you again. Can I tell you how the end of Peter's story goes? You may or may not know this. So Jesus said to him that night, "Feed my sheep." He didn't mean, "Bah, go give them grass." Jesus really didn't have sheep. I mean, he was a shepherd, but he was a shepherd of men. He was a shepherd of you and I. Jesus is my shepherd. You ever heard the 23rd Psalm? Raise your hand if you've ever heard this. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me by still waters." That's talking about Jesus. Jesus is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, restores me, restores my soul. That's talking about Jesus. It's foreshadowing Jesus. And Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, listen, I knew that I was going to go up to heaven." And he's saying, "You need to feed my sheep. There are going to be people that believe in me later on, and they're going to need help. They're going to need to know what I taught, and I taught you so that you could teach them. Feed my sheep." And he restores him back to his plan. And Peter, that night after the restoration, Peter that night learns the most important lesson that he probably ever heard from Jesus when Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." See, Peter had heard Jesus teach a lot of stuff, but this might have been the single most important lesson when Jesus looked at Peter in the eye and said, "I want you back on my team." Well, Peter takes it so seriously that he does follow Jesus, and he does start feeding sheep, and he starts feeding sheep so faithfully that by the time 30 or 40 years go by, there are literally tens of thousands of people who believe in Jesus because of Peter. Pastor Peter. That has a weird ring to it. I don't like that. But literally tens of thousands of people that believe in Jesus because of Pastor Peter. Now watch this. Late one night, the soldiers came for Peter about 40 years later. And he was in a room, and they came for him. And they said, "Are you Peter? Are you the one that writes all these letters to these people who follow Jesus and that says that this Jesus rose from the grave?" And he said, "That's me. Come with us." And they put him in shackles, and they took him down, and they condemned him to die. And they sentenced him to death, and they said, "You're so confident in this Jesus who you say rose from the grave, we're going to kill you just like he was killed. We're going to put you on a cross." And right as they were nailing Peter's hands and feet to the cross, Peter stopped and said, "Stop!" They said, "Oh, so you want to deny him now?" He said, "No, not at all. I'm not worthy to die like my Savior. I'm not worthy. Would you please turn my cross upside down? Crucify me upside down." And Peter died on an upside down cross. Please don't ever forget what I'm about to say. Did Peter live out the rest of his life in fear of a God who was going to cast him aside and get rid of him? Or did he live out the rest of his life from a God who restores him over and over and over and over again? How stinking cool is that? How cool is that? Hey, I don't know if Jesus is going to call you to die on a cross. I hope not. I don't want to die on a cross. I want to die fast, you know? I mean, Lord, lightning, you know? I'm not really. I mean, if you need suggestions on how to cause me to die, that might not be a bad one. work with me. Here's the thing. Man, Jesus is probably not going to call you to die on a cross, but check this out. It's the restorations that help us be faithful. It's not your goodness that helps us be faithful. I can't tell you how many times in my life I see myself in this, because I go back to the sheep and I see this cute, fuzzy sheep of feed my sheep. When I see my mistakes that I've made, and man, Jesus restores me over and over again. You know, maybe tonight, maybe not, but you're going to have times in your life where you need to come to Jesus and say exactly what Peter said that third time in verse 17, chapter 21. Lord, you know everything. That was Peter's translation. That's Peter saying, Jesus, I'm naked here. I know you know that I know that you know. I messed up. I did it. I ain't hiding nothing. You know that I love you. I love you and I messed up. You might need that tonight. If you don't need it tonight, you're going to need it soon. I promise. And check this out. You're probably going to need to hear Jesus say something like, hey, Chris, Michael, feed my sheep. Get back on my team. The band's going to come up and they're going to sing a song over you. God's grace, guys, is day to day. You may not look at this message, you may not hear this message, and you may not feel like an incredible amount of joy as you're hearing this, because really the reality of what I'm saying is you're going to need to come and get grace, because you're going to mess up and I'm going to mess up and I do mess up. That's not very joyful, I'll admit that. But you know what is joyful? It's not joyful that you and I are going to need grace. It's joyful that he's gone to give it and not run out. He's not going to run out. They're going to sing a song over you, and I pray that this becomes your heart cry tonight to God for grace.